It's common to use metaphors to indicate the nature of something. For example, have you guys ever had a piece, maybe someone tries a piece of meat that you've never tasted before? Maybe they try duck or something like this. And what's the common phrase you hear from someone when they want to tell you what something tastes like? What's the most common thing they say? It tastes like what? It tastes like chicken. Because they want you to try to understand that when you've never experienced this before, but I'll give you something that you have experienced so you can know what it's like. When I went to Africa a few years back, when I came back, a lot of people asked me, so what was Africa? What is Africa like? And so I would try to explain to them, based on some place that they've seen or that we both knew about, kind of like what Africa is like. Well, the most common metaphor in Scripture for missions, to help you understand what missions is, the most common metaphor in Scripture is war. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, when he went to Ephesus, going there, he says, there is a wide door of service open for me, and there are many adversaries. I'm going to Ephesus, but I'm going to do battle. There are adversaries there. Paul says to the Philippians, when he writes to them in chapter 2 and verse 25, he says, I am going to send to you Epaphroditus, who is my fellow soldier. When he writes a letter to Philemon, he makes reference to give greetings to Archippus, who he says in verse 2 is my fellow soldier. Missions is war. When you open your Bible this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes to his young disciple in the faith who is now going himself into missionary work. And he says to him, you therefore, and by the way, Paul is writing Timothy really at about the end of his life. And he says to him, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, I want you, as you get ready to engage in missionary work, to pursue the strength that you need in Christ. Be strong. Receive your strength. And for this to happen, you need to pursue it. You need to pursue Christ, who gives you grace. Grace is the strength to do what God wants you to do. And he says to him that this grace is in Christ Jesus. Everybody who has Christ Jesus has grace. And by the way, do you know what? According to Scripture, we have more than enough grace. We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that when they were going to take an offering for the other Christians, that Paul said to them, God is able to make all grace, all strength abound to you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in everything, may abound to every good deed. God is able to supply his people with all the strength they need to do every good thing that he wants them to do, including missionary work. Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things, he says in verse 2, which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these same things that you've learned from me, to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is what missionary work is. Missionary work is taking the treasure that we've received, everything that we've learned about Christ and the gospel and grace, and then taking that to other people who themselves are loyal to the word now, so that they will in turn teach other people. That's what missions is. Entrusting the treasure you've received to someone else who will take that treasure and entrust it to someone else who will take that treasure and entrust it to someone else. It's almost like if you had a father, let's say, who starts a family business. And then as his children begin to grow and get older, he tells his son, he teaches him everything he knows about the business. He pours it into his sons and daughters, and one day when they grow up, every secret their father gave them about how to run this business and make it work, they spent their whole life around it. Now they take that knowledge and they take over that business. And then when they have children, they pour into their kids. Let me tell you everything that my dad told me, everything, I'm gonna pour into you everything I know. And so then they run that business afterwards. And so it is with missionary work. Timothy is to take every single thing that Paul taught him and entrust it. You know, Jesus said to all of his disciples, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." Now, verse 3, he says, in the midst of your engaging in missionary work, Timothy, and you are seeking strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus, I want you to understand that missions is war. And because of that, there are two things that you have to understand. These are two things that I want us to focus on this morning. Number one, as war, missions is not easy. He says in verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, just like in my life and ministry, it has been an all-out battle. So I'm urging you to prepare to do the same thing as I have, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know that when we come to engage in missionary work, that there are powerful enemies that are committed to our defeat in the city of Providence? The other day, I went to a basketball game of some of the guys that I was a youth pastor of, and they were getting shellacked pretty bad. And I was sitting next to a couple of the fans on the sideline, and I heard one of one of the mothers said to one of the boys, "Come on, shoot the shots like you do in practice." And I said to her, I said, "Well, the difference is in practice, there's no opponent. So surely I can go do a layup drill in basketball and lay it in every time. I can score 50 points a game. But now what happens when the game starts? I have someone opposing me." But you know that in missionary work, it's actually much more serious than that. The scripture says that Paul said to the Ephesians, in all of their life, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's who you're struggling with. According to that scripture, that means that in this earth and in this city, there are demonic rulers of this region. There are demonic powers. That's who you're engaging in struggle with. And by the way, that tells me that should we be surprised, even in these 2 years, as we've sought to begin this church, the conflicts and battles that we've faced along the way? No. Should we be surprised that even as a congregation here, as a core group of people, that along the way we've had people come and go, that at one time we were maybe even several more than are here now? Is it possible that within our preparations that our enemy is trying to discourage us? Sure. Should we be surprised that along the way that I became ill in the spring and we were slowed down? Is it possible that the enemy is trying to discourage and thwart us? Sure. Is it possible that last year we said, you know what, we're going to slow down this process and take some time? Is it possible that our enemy was, absolutely, We are not struggling against flesh and blood. We're struggling against the rulers, the powers, the forces of wickedness in this darkness, the scripture says. The word struggle in Ephesians chapter 6 is the idea of a wrestling match between two people who are trying to pin each other. Have anybody here ever been to see a real wrestling match? I have. And I don't know if I've ever seen a more intense. Do you know that a wrestling match is a total of 6 minutes long? There are three quarters that last 2 minutes each. That's the whole match, 6 minutes. But in those 6 minutes, I have never seen such intensity. For those 2 minutes, I see these guys who are, I mean, their bodies straining and just absolutely every part of them for 2 minutes trying to pin that. The intensity of that, these guys are exhausted after a 6 minute match. Paul says that's what you're engaged in. You are engaged with forces that are demonic that rule the area that you're in. Missions is not easy. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan. But at the end of this movie, towards the end of this movie, when they are very close to actually these Americans to saving Private Ryan, this guy who all of his brothers had died, and so the U.S. military wanted to get him back home without dying, to get him back to his parents, because they already lost all of his, I think he'd lost three other brothers, they all died, there were four boys, three of them were killed, and so they wanted to get him back home. So they send these troops on a mission to go get this private who's engaged in battle. I think it's somewhere in France, somewhere in there. And they're trying to get him out of there. Well, they find him. They find the place where he's in, but the Germans are right there. And one of the closing scenes towards the very end of Saving Private Ryan, these Americans are vastly outnumbered by the Germans. They're in this town. They have Private Ryan now, and they got to get out of here. Well, they're severely outmanned, but they have strategy, they've got ammunition everywhere, and they fight these guys valiantly. They fight them valiantly. Well, in one house, there is an American and a German that are up in the house, this vacant house in this town, and they both have no more ammo, bullets. They're fighting to the death with their hands. Both of them had something they could, like a knife. And they show the most intense wrestling match inside this house. And finally, one of them wins. And to win, he kills. I mean, the end of the wrestling match is death. I mean, they fought to the death. Scripture says that our struggle is against serious enemies. Missions is not easy. It involves an intense struggle. He says to Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he says to him, fight the good fight. You know the word fight there is the word for war. War a good fight, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 7, Paul says to him, you have to, as you go to be a missionary, take yourself to the gymnasium to make yourself godly. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Missions involves intense struggle. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he says to him again, fight the good fight. And by the way, the word fight in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is the verb agonize. It's a word that means to use every ounce of strength that you have in this struggle. You agonize. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have agonized the good agony. I have fought the good fight. In Jude chapter 3, Jude says, I urge you to agonize for the faith that has been given to all the saints. Someone has said, the condition of all success is toil. I was reading, I get the Providence Business News sent here, I think it comes out every week or every 2 weeks, and at the end I really like this one section of the Providence Business News. It's by this guy who has an envelope business somewhere in America. His last name is Mackey, and he has this section called Mackey's Moral. Well, Mackie was saying on Friday when I got the Providence Business News, he was commenting about, he was urging everyone in business to work hard at what they do. And he quotes some different people, Larry Bird and all these different guys. And he said, basically, when you see someone that their business has become a success, what you didn't see was the 9,999 times when they were working at it. And now finally you show up there. You know, we don't know what God's going to do, but let's say one day that by God's grace, which I believe by faith he's going to do, God builds a bright light for him in downstairs years. Well, what people aren't going to see when they walk in right on January 4th, by the way, they won't have seen the past 2 years. And we say, boy, you don't know what we had to go through and all the things it took. And someday someone's going to walk up and they're going to see that sign there and they're going to see it furnished and they're going to see all those things. But they weren't there in the toil that it took to get there. Missions involves intense struggle. But you know what? The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly but spiritual. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are mighty, they are powerful to the destruction of fortresses. And now think about that for a second, by the way. It's like the missionary is on the offense. He is going to destroy fortresses. In verse 5, he says, we are casting down every lofty thing. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that's raised against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The missionary is at war. And with his spiritual weapons, which are prayer and the word, he is destroying fortresses. He is tearing down every lofty idea that's raised against the knowledge of God. The missionary is at war. And I just said a moment ago, when you understand this context of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he's talking about him taking the gospel and destroying anything raised against the knowledge of God. But the other weapon of warfare is prayer. I'm going to demonstrate that real briefly. Look at Romans 15 and verse 30. When you're engaged in missionary work, this is a huge weapon of our warfare. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30 says, now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The word strive together is the same word for agonize. Guys, we've got to engage in this warfare and we strive together in prayer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And finally, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. As war, missions is not easy. And the reason it isn't easy is because we have powerful enemies that are committed to our personal defeat and the defeat of our Savior, our mission. That's reality, guys. That's, I could say to each one of you personally sitting in this room and call you by name, you, if you're going to be a missionary, are at war. And this is going to involve intense struggle on your part. And this is why he begins in verse 1, receive strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But be ready for war. Okay? Now look back at our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and now verse 4. The second thing is this, as war, missions is all-encompassing. As war, missions is not easy. And then as war, in verse 4, missions is all-encompassing. He says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who had enlisted him as a soldier. Okay, no soldier in active service gets himself all tangled up with, the phrase is, the affairs of everyday life. In other words, the pursuits and the occupations of just regular civil life. In other words, it's like someone said, although we must employ ourselves in the affairs of this life, we must not be diverted by them and drawn aside from our duty to God and the great concerns of our Christianity. To be a missionary means this, that it is the all-encompassing pursuit of your life to do that work. Your focus is not on recreation. Your focus is not on retirement. Your focus is not on your career. Your focus is the advance of the gospel. That is the focus of a missionary. If you are a soldier, that's how you feel. Now, by the way, does that cut against the way the American dream? For sure. Would I say that it cuts against the average Christian? For sure. I think the average Christian goes to church. They want to have a nice life. They want to do well. They want to have their family love each other. They want to be nice to their neighbors. They want to enjoy the services and go home and relax. But missions is more than this. Missions is war. And so the soldier says, you know what? I'm not going to let anything as far as normal human life, things I've got to do, it's a matter of priorities. None of them will supersede the mission. You see, because I'm a soldier. And as a soldier, I'm all in. That's what I do. Can you guys imagine the Civil War when all these guys left their families and these guys had jobs? Some of them were printers or cobblers or they had a general store. What if when they were get to go to war every day, the guy's back there sitting in his tent, he's trying to figure out all his business and try to take care of it. I'll be with you in a second here, General. Trying to run his business while he's going to war. He can't do it. You know what? We are disciples first and foremost. And so, do we have a job? Yes. Do you need to rest? Yes. Okay. But first and foremost, you're a disciple. First and foremost is the mission. And so you do your career and you enjoy life and all those kind of things, but the big thing, you're a soldier. We cannot, as we engage in missionary work in this city, do it half-heartedly. For example, we're going to start these neighborhood groups. We expect every single person who's on this mission to be actively engaged in those neighborhood groups. Why? Because what you're doing as a missionary is taking everything that you've learned and entrusting it to someone else who will be able to, again, like I told you earlier, the father who has a business and pours it all into his kids, or a parent in general who has a little child and says, I want to teach you everything I've ever learned in life. Let me teach you a lesson about this and a lesson about this. I'm going to tell you everything I've to help them. This means if you're on mission at Down City Church, when the church gathers, you gather. When the church prays, you pray. Because you're on mission. That's how you feel. Mission work is not for people who they have all, this is one that engage, being a part of a church, a body, is one of the things they do. But you know, they got it, they're going here and there and they're involved in this and that and doing this and that. And when they can fit it in, and when it's convenient and they're okay and everything else is lined up, they can be a part of it. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. If you're gonna be a soldier, you gotta go all in. And this means that it means sacrifice. From my own life, even this past year, as you guys know, I have to pay some bills here. And I started refereeing. And back in the spring, I was refereeing on Sundays every single day. But in my own heart, I really felt that God dealt with me this summer that I told the guys that I referee for, I'm not going to accept any more assignments on Sunday, afternoon or night, because I need to be free for like what we're going to do this afternoon, for like opportunities to engage in body life with people. Does that mean that extra income that I lost? Yes. But I'm a soldier. Is God going to meet my needs? Yes, he will. But there's something more important than making that extra cash. It's the mission that we're on. And that's what God, in all of our lives, there's got to be, that is first and foremost for us. In my career, and my pleasure, and my rest, and all those kinds of things, God knows all those things. But first and foremost to me, and to us, as a missionary, is the mission. Missions is all-encompassing. You know what? It does demand sacrifice. You may not have as much free time to sit around that you would have if you had not come on this mission. You may have had more money in your pocket by the time that you die if you had not come on this mission. But is it worth it? You know, in the World War II, we know that they apparently at that time, the Americans sacrificed as a nation. They would ration gas. They would ration tires. They would ration their consumption of meat. They would not eat meat many times because so they could send it off to all the soldiers. I mean, the whole country banded together. They sacrificed together for the cause of this mission. And this is what missions is. Missions is war. And you give yourself to it all in. The scripture says in Philippians chapter 1, strive together for the faith of the gospel. And you know what's so great? In this war, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Hades is the place where everyone who dies goes, the place of departed spirits. Jesus says, death, everything dies except my church. Hades will not overpower it. My church will live. You know what's great? The church will conquer. We know the hymn, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses, the song says, with every grace endued. And listen to this last verse. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Onward, Christian soldiers. Forward, march. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning. And we pray this morning to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that we will, with all of our heart, take the things that we have been entrusted to us and commit them to faithful people who will teach others also. Lord, I pray for each one that we might realize truly the struggle that we are engaged in and the strength and the seriousness of our enemy. That we may take up our weaponry, dear God, which is not of flesh, but is your word and his prayer, that we might destroy fortresses and speculations and everything that's raised up against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Father, I pray that this mission in all of our hearts will be the priority, the all-encompassing thing which it must be. Lord, we thank you that you are going to build your church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Your church will win. Now may all of us, Lord, as good soldiers, give all of our hearts to this conflict. And we thank you for the grace that is in you to do it. For your honor and glory in this city, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.